I'd like to thank Dad for that lengthy reading this morning. Good to see everybody out this morning, and appreciate the presence of all. I called Mike this morning. Rick had listed him as the speaker, so if you thought Mike was going to preach today, I'm sorry about that. I disappoint you there, but you got me today. The other thing I was reading about Moses there in that verse, it reminded me, I feel like Moses a lot. I'm not a very good speaker in public. I just don't have that skill. I was hoping to get one of my brothers up here to help me like Moses did, but neither one of them volunteered either, so I guess we're on our own today. So today's lesson, a little bit different twist than you normally hear when you think about conversion. I think we don't preach about a conversion probably as much as we should sometimes, the simpleness of the gospel. And we're going to talk about a few people in the Bible and a few stories, some simple things about the Bible. What I'd like you to think about from this perspective is, what happens when you don't obey the gospel? What kind of rejection are you showing there when that happens to you? And who are you basically offending? Well, the things that they did to make this opportunity available to you. So that's what we're going to try to look at today. And Wesley, I don't know where we did the clicker. Is this it right here? Okay. Let's see if this works. Okay. So I thought it'd be good to start with what does it really mean just to obey the gospel? I know it seems like a simple question, and we talk about it a lot, but let's just kind of make sure we start with that and we understand what we're talking about when we say, what does it mean when you obey the gospel? Not the clicker. Let's go here. All right. So the first thing we always say, you got to call on the name of the Lord, right? That's one of those things we call on. So you're going to come around and come to the point in your life where you decide you're going to obey the Lord. You got to call on the name of the Lord. And that's in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Another thing I thought about this morning, we used to not have a PowerPoint. We used to have to get our Bibles out and hunt these verses down. And I almost did that, and I thought, well, I might make it worse on myself than y'all. But we all get in the habit of that. And it's easy to have your phone and your pad, and that's cool, because I do as well. But you also make sure you get in the habit once in a while and using your Bible. And remember, make sure you can remember where Romans is at and Ephesians, pretty quickly jump to those type of scriptures and places in the Old Testament, because we can get out of practice. I haven't been up here for a year, so I'm out of practice. So I know it could happen to all of us. We forget things. So don't forget to read your Bible and manually look things up once in a while just so you stay oriented with it. So the second phase of the conversion process we was talking about is you've got to hear the Word and you've got to believe it, right? And that's in Romans 10 and 14. How then shall they that call on Him which have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him which have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Also in the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17 it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Another one, as Gary would say, is a phrase in there. If you're trying to get the password for our Wi-Fi, which is WMCOC, is our router back here, Romans 10:17 is the password. So you can always remember that. Romans 10:17, lowercase, no colon. That's our password for the website. I give you guys IDs. So Romans 10:17, that's a very critical verse. That's what's one of my favorites. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Next stage in that process of conversion is you need to repent of your sins. This isn't new information to most of us. But in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, repent therefore that you might be converted, that your sins might be blotted out, so that by the time taking away of refreshing, one more time, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So we know we have to repent of our sins after we've made that decision to obey the Lord. We must confess that He is the Son of God. And that's in Romans 10 and 9. A lot of these verses are found in Romans. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a promise that He made to us. Last part of that process, as we know, is this big tank of water we got back here. People use that when they decide they want to be baptized, and this is how we do this in this building. And if some of us been baptized in a creek, I think, or even horse troughs, I think Jenny told us, right? So there's been different ways that you can get done. All you got to say is you got to have water. And we'll talk about some people in the Bible and how they did that here in a minute. Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and the remission of sin, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's what it means to obey the gospel. That's how you do it, right? That's the phases of the process that you walk through as you're doing that. But that's what I want you to know about. But I want to want you to consider these other things here. The Bible teaches that many do not obey. Even though we know this, and this is not a new thing for many of us, we've heard this, still haven't made that decision to change. Romans 10:16 says, They all have not obeyed the gospel. Again, this is part of the scripture Dad read for us. But they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah, Lord, who has believed our report, and that's in Isaiah 59, I believe it is. Romans 10 and 18, have they not heard? But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. God made sure that the world heard His word. It's been out and it's been preached and still continues to be that way today. In Romans 10 and 21, I've stretched out my hands, He said. But to Israel, He says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. The Jews were the first people that had the opportunity to become Christians. He came to His own people first. And just like some of the people in the Old Testament, His people rejected Him. He even got to the new times of Jesus. The Jews still rejected Him in many cases. Not all,
but many did.
We need to realize that there are severe consequences for this rejection and disobedience. And that's what I'm going to kind of go through this morning, just so we kind of understand what we're trading for our disobedience.
Sorry about the pointer.
All right. I feel like whenever you fail to subject to God, you're trying to overthrow His power. You might be thinking, and that kind of sounds kind of radical to say that. Let's look at 1 and 16, what that verse says. Again, we're staying in Romans a lot today. I should have told you that. But Romans, if you're following along your Bible, a lot of these verses are in Romans. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And this is what Paul said. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the power of God. The power of salvation. And we need to remember this is the only way that He's going to save man is through the gospel. If you're following along, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, this is the only method that the Lord will use to save us. We need to realize that. There's not going to be some angel appear to us like some of those folks in the Bible did, or somebody come along and talk to you and say, hey, you need to go see Gary, for example. Go talk to him and he'll tell you about it. That's not going to happen in our time.
They did that in the New Testament,
but that's not going to happen to us. So if anybody's waiting around for somebody to come to them tonight, it's probably not going to happen. Matthew 28 and 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go and therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, that which I have commanded unto you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Let's talk about some people in the Bible. I know a lot of these examples we use in the invitation. Let's just look at a few. And these are some examples for us that we know what conversion looks like and how these guys did it, and we can learn from that.
First person we'll probably talk about is Cornelius. He was the first non-Jew that was offered the invitation. That's why he's a critical person in the Bible, at least importance-wise, because up until his time,
the Jews were the only ones that really had the opportunity to partake in Jesus and the Lord. In the gospel way,
didn't offer to the Gentiles. He was a Gentile. Well, I think we're all Gentiles here in this time and place in which we live. We're not Jewish descent. Most of us, some of you could be. I don't know, but most of us probably aren't. Acts 10 and 6. He says this is a few verses from his story, and he said, "Go find this guy." And it was Peter. He said he's lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do. And so Cornelius, as we know, was a famous general in the army. He had a lot of people under him. He was a powerful man, but he was very humble. He was a very good person. He gave alms to the poor. And
God rewarded him with that opportunity to hear about the gospel. And he told him to go find Peter. In Acts 11:14, he said, he will tell you the words by which you and all your household shall be saved. And that was Peter again he was talking to. We all know that all played out. He came and he preached to Peter. And Peter saw the vision coming down about, stay away from the unclean things. The Jews weren't allowed to eat certain foods, touch certain things. They had a lot of ceremonies and rituals they had to follow. Very complicated religion. Very easy to make a mistake. A lot of things you couldn't do. But again, that was what God told them to do. He said, that's how I want it done. I want you to, and that's why Rick gave a lesson a while back about details. Details do matter. And that's why it's important we try to follow the gospel the best we can when we serve Him, because He does care about details.
But at this point in time, He decided, I'm going to open this up to the world, which He had promised anyways when He promised that to Abraham. And this was the time that promise was coming through. In Acts 16 and 31 and 32, we talk about another guy here, the Philippian jailer.
Paul and Silas were in prison. They were jailed. His job was to watch over these two guys. And he said, if they get loose, you might as well kill yourself. That was their instruction as the jailers. And so we all know about the earthquake, and you know their bands were loosed. They could have walked out and left town. Nobody had ever stopped them, but they didn't. And the jailer realized that somebody supernatural had intervened in this instance where these people didn't leave and didn't run out of jail. I guarantee you today, if Bama County Jail, the gates were open, they would empty out in about 10 minutes, right? Those guys would be gone. So, but they didn't. Paul and his prisoners, they stayed there. And he realized this is something special here, and he wanted to know more about it. And that's why he said, the Philippian jailer said, believe on the Lord. They told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and he and all his household who was there. And then we know more of the whole family. Many were converted. And again, this is just a couple examples of people and how they were baptized and how their conversions happened. If we disobey, we choose damnation to ourselves. That's the choice we're making. We have the promise of all the good things, or we know we're choosing the bad things. One of the things I thought about this morning is, it's like, look around, everybody's here. We all like each other. We wouldn't be here, right? This is the people that's going to be in heaven. We're all trying to get there. And I don't know why you wouldn't want to be there when we're all together. This is the place that we all love each other, and that's what's going to be in heaven. But if we don't, it says in Acts 13:46, then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves of more than worthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. And that's where he switched from the Jews to Gentiles. That's what Paul's ministry was mostly about. I want you to think about some other things that were turning down when we don't obey the gospel. It says we make the death of Christ of none effect. All that misery and torture we talk about, as we're going to take the Lord's Supper in a little bit, we always try to remember and think what that was like when Jesus died. How much pain and misery and torture and persecution went through. We try to think what that would have been like. We didn't see it. We've only read a book about it. And we have people tell us about it. But we try to really think about that. And if you don't accept Him, you're basically saying that ain't for me. That's okay, but I don't want that. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. He did. He gave it all up for us. He made that universal sacrifice for all people. Not just the Jews, but all mankind. And He opened that up to everybody. That was a wonderful thing. God could have kept that to the Jews, but He didn't. He wanted all men to be saved. And in Matthew 11:28-30, He says, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and meek, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We used to sing that song a lot. I don't know if it's in the books we have now or not. Jeff used to lead a lot. That was a good song. But that's Jesus basically saying, that's His words. He said, it's not hard to work for me. It's not. Because my yoke is easy. You see, they used to tie those ox up and pull those carts. You see the Amish horses up running down the road. Sometimes they come up by our house, they got a load on, 5 or 6 kids in there, and they got to pull a heavy load to get up that hill. But Jesus said, it's not that way when you work for me, when you're one of mine. It's easy. I'll make it easy for you. We make Jesus' death ineffectual. 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be non-effective. Galatians 2:21 also. Again, Paul writing, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. And we don't want to have to look on judgment day and say, Jesus, I'm sorry you did that. Didn't take the opportunity. We don't want Him to think that He did that in vain. We want Him to appreciate, we know He's our Lord and Savior, and we appreciate the misery that He endured for us. You also resist the Holy Spirit, I think, whenever you turn Him down and not obey. We're told that He did not, it says we're told not to grieve the Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30 said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit, He convicts us and He converts us. Let's look at John 3:3-5.
Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless one of you is born again, and this is Nicodemus he's talking to here, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So the Spirit is also an important part of that, our obedience, and he has a hand in that also. Again, we're resisting him. We're resisting the help he can lend us and give us when we don't obey the gospel and become one of God's children. The apostles were guided by the Spirit. We know they were. And all those many, many miracles and things that they could do, we know those were given to them as gifts by the Holy Spirit. John 14:26, but that helper, and you see that's capitalized there, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of the things that I said unto you. And he did. He came to them. He gave them
knowledge and wisdom. He gave them the gifts of ability to do miracles. Those men were special people for God. You know? And they had these gifts that they were able to do to help people realize who they were. You know, they were to be an apostle, you had to see Jesus. That was the one qualification. And then obviously they had to be in the representatives, first right-hand men of Jesus. They were the ones that passed the seed on to the rest of the world. And they wrote this down because of Jesus' time. This stuff wasn't written down until Jesus was gone. So they recorded his word, and then he gave them the job to spread it across the world. But again, that was from the help of the Spirit in many cases, to helping them and helping them through some tough times. You know, many of those apostles had a miserable ending, and they had that Spirit with them helping them through those rough times. I know I can't imagine what that would have been like. All the beatings Paul took, and all the, you know, you think about what he just went through, and some of them we really don't know all that they endured. I'm sure there's many things that some of these apostles did that we just didn't get recorded. I'm sure they all had a tough life in their sacrifice to the Lord. They had the Holy Spirit to help them along the way. He convicts and he converts us through the gospel. In Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing and water of the word, or water by the word. And if you reject the gospel, I think you reject the Spirit. Acts 7:51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. And that's to those Jewish people he was talking to back then. And it's referring back to the olden times, how they rejected the Lord. And that started back when they came out of bondage, and you know, God gave them everything, gave them that land, and they wasn't happy with that. They thought they had to have a king, be like everybody else. Everybody wants to be like the next guy, I guess, you know. So they rejected the Lord. God said, they rejected me, but I'll give them a king. And that's just the beginning of the way it went for the Israelites all through time, until Jesus came along and set everything right. You make work of the apostles and prophets seem to be in vain also. That's what I mean. We talked about some of those things that the apostles endured. The apostles worked the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18-21. Now all the things are of God, who has reconciled us unto Him through Himself, or through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, and not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed them to the world of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God we're pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God, for we made Him who knew not of sin to be of us, or be for us, that we might become the unrighteous of God in Him. I think the apostles also preached the work of reconciliation. Again, they preached the ministry of that, and let's look at another verse that kind of refers to that. 1 Corinthians 3:5-11. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he is a reward according to him who do his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers, for which we have given to me. I'm sorry, which are God's field, and you are the God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds, for no foundation can
anyone laid other than what is laid, which is in Christ Jesus. And we spent a lot of time going through the Corinthian letters. I knew Tom was teaching in his class. But again, this is the, you know, these men laid the groundwork for Jesus' foundation. Disobedience nullifies that gospel ministry. Paul wrote in many of these letters that were quoted from Paul, 1 Thessalonians 3 and 5, "For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain." And that was always one of Paul's worries. He was hoping that all that work he was doing was not for no good reason, or a waste of anybody's time. Vain, we talk about vanity. He was always fearful that that would be the case. Philippians chapter 2, 12 through 16. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to do His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Again, different church, same message, right? He worried a lot about that vanity. So, you know, he's worried about that. You know, he's still worried about that today. I'm sure if he was able to say to us, he'd have that same concern. "I hope all this work that we did has not been for nothing, not been a waste of time." That's got to be a disappointment to him when somebody rejected him. This is in the scripture, in these Philippians and the Galatian letters. So that's about the conclusion of my points I wanted to make today. Three things I wanted to leave you with here. Many men can and do obey the gospel, but not obeying the gospel will result in severe consequences that our God has promised. I didn't get into a lot of hell and fire and brimstone today. We just know what the, you know, we have two doors in heaven. Tremendous pleasure and glory and happiness, and the other is misery that we can't even imagine. That's the promise. That's just what's going to happen. You only have two choices. There's no in between. Unfortunately, there's no place. There's no purgatory. A lot of places that our religious people will preach about purgatory, kind of like in between. And if you push hard enough, you can go over the top back the other way. That's not the way it is. Once we make our way in this earth and our time's over, that's it. We'll be judged on where we stand at the end of time. Obeying the gospel will result in fulfillment of that promise that Jesus made. Dad quotes this one all the time. John 14 and 2. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And He's promises that. That's what we have to look forward to. All we have to do is make those few steps that we mentioned in the beginning of the lesson. Very simple lesson today. Nothing that probably haven't heard 100 times, but I wanted you to kind of think about the other people that did a lot. You know, Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice, but look, all those people that along the way have had and entities that have a part in this as well that we're turning down. We said, "Nope, not today, Lord." We all think about this today, and if you're not there, you're not ready today, start working on it. What does it take? Make yourself a plan. What's it going to take to convince myself that I need to become a Christian? You know, and what's going to happen if I don't and something happens to me? What's the benefit? I mean, I always try to look at things from the business point of view. It's called cost or risk reward. You got to, you know, this is what I'm risking. And this is what I'm going to gain. You're risking going to hell if you die. So, but if you die and you're cursing, you got this to gain. So it's kind of hard to see what the benefit of not becoming a Christian. But for whatever reason, many people have a little trouble getting there. And we're just here to say, what can we do to help you make that decision and clarify those doubts and push you over the top to becoming one of the Lord's children? So if there's anything we can do today to help you, again, thank you for listening. And if we can help you, if you're a Christian, you'd like us to help pray with you, we're always happy to do that as well. We thank you for your attendance and listening today, and hope this benefited somewhat. Please stand while we sing.